Good morning to each one this morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Muy buenos días a todos esta mañana. Saludos en el nombre precioso de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. As we were coming up Interstate 95, I was observing what we could see of the city, and especially observing, looking for something, because in preparation for this message, I just looked up a little bit about the city, and I don't know a lot about the city. I've been here a number of times, but noticed a big gap in the skyscrapers. As you look at Manhattan Island and you see the high ones, and then there seems to be some lower ones, and then there seems to be some high ones again. And the reason I was looking for that, I was reading that the island there, the area, has different ground. And some of it is extremely firm and can withstand the weight of the skyscrapers. It's stable, but in between, I believe they call it upper and midtown and downtown, something like that. Between that, there's an area that cannot, is not as stable and cannot hold the skyscrapers as we, the tall ones. The architects and builders of these skyscrapers were looking for a firm foundation, something they could set up a building that goes up dozens of stories tall and is not going to topple over. You're probably familiar with the Leaning Tower of Pisa in France, where tower was built, and I'm not quite sure the height of it, but as it was, even as they were building it, it was starting to lean. And eventually leaned to, I think, 5.5 degrees angle. Now, in the last couple of decades, they've been working at, and I think maybe they finished that, at stabilizing that. In fact, pulled it upright just a little bit. But still, the center, the top is about 13 feet off center. Why? Foundation. Under the one side was not as strong as under the other side, and so it's unstable. I invite you this morning to look at, to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Looking back at a few, we're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about the Old Testament Bible characters, but the principle there that they showed to us. But we'd like to look at this principle that comes out about some of these Bible characters. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city which hath foundations. And let's go on to verse 13 through 16. These all died in faith. Who are these all? I believe it's the different ones mentioned. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Noah, Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This morning we look for a city which hath foundations. We look for a city which hath foundations. And if you want to put a title to the message, I will put that to it. That, these tall, and I didn't research how tall these buildings are. but tremendous weight, tremendous height. They need a foundation. For that foundation to settle 6 inches in depth would be disastrous for a tall building, as happened with that, the tower. And it needs a firm foundation. But you know, the foundation that's under every one of these buildings, the foundation that's under this building, is someday going to be shaken. This foundation cannot stand eternally. And I believe Abraham knew that. Anything earthly, and I would like to just take out a number of points out of this passage here, some foundational truths for our lives. And first of all, verse 13 is that death is a reality. What foundation do you have in this earth when death is a reality? Death is going to take us. As much as man tries to prepare, tries to avoid it, tries to prolong his life, and I understand even some people trying to, you know, asking for their bodies to be frozen so that someday when they can figure out how to cure this death problem, we can bring them back. But death is a reality. Death is a reality. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All flesh is as grass. We chop the grass and it withers up. It's not long and it's blown away, dry. But this earthly home is temporary. But that's what I want to impress on our minds this morning. The brevity of life, how temporal things are. And that we must be looking for a city which hath foundations. We must be looking beyond this life. Some people say that, life is short. I got to live it up. Got to give myself over to the pleasures. Got to just live up anything that I can. Enjoy life. Is that the answer? Serve the flesh because it's short. It doesn't take away the reality of death and what's after death. The second thing I like to pull out of these verses, verse 13 as well, is that earth life does not hold the promises. These men, these heroes of faith, died in faith not having received the promises. There are many promises. Notice the billboard on the way here. Something about preparing for a longer retirement. I forget how I mentioned it, but something about preparing for a longer retirement. A promise. You know, if you go through our company, you can lay up and you can have a longer retirement. But earth life does not hold the promises. There's so many promises today. Promises of happiness. If you just could buy this product, you will be happy. You know, you just haven't lived until you've bought this product. And yes, you might not be able to afford it now, but $55 a month and you're good to go. But that will bring happiness. That's just going to make you satisfied. Promises, promises. Just improve the house improvement. If we could just build onto that house, we could just remodel the interior or the exterior. Or if I could just have more vacation time. We're constantly bombarded with promises. But earth life does not hold the promise. The real promises are not here. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll be coming back to Hebrews, but we'd just like to read a verse in 1 Corinthians 7. And it's in the context of marriage, in the context of another context here. But there's a phrase in here that I'd like to pull out. But this 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that though both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. There's life is short, and there's going to be changes in life. But here is though they that use this world as not abusing or as not overusing. I believe is what that word in this context means, as not abusing it. They that use this world. We must use this world. If we want to gather together like this, we need a place to gather. Well, we could do it out in the open air, but we don't remove ourselves from this world. As was mentioned in the devotional this morning, that we need to be in this world, but not of this world. And so we must be in this world. We want a place, we want a building, physical building, that we can gather together in. We drive physical cars to get here. There's so many things. We need a place to live. We need to use money. We need to use clothing, food, and so many other things that we use. It's a necessary part of life. But as not, as those that use this world as not abusing it, not overusing it. These things are here, given to us for a purpose. And I believe it's so important for us to remember, it's something we forget, at least I do, but to remember that these physical things are not mine. They're loaned to me. I'm a steward. I'm a manager. And I need to use these things for God and not for myself. And that takes on a whole new meaning. All these physical things, we realize earth life does not hold the promises. We cannot find complete bliss or satisfaction or fulfillment to its completion here on this earth. We can't. We need to be living for something more foundational, something more secure, something much deeper than that. And as we do that, then these earthly things that we touch and we feel and we see, these earthly things take on a new meaning. And they take on a new purpose because we're no longer living for ourselves, trying to find that fulfillment, trying to find that satisfaction and that joy that's being promised us. We're not using them for that purpose, but we're using them for God. We're using them for His glory. We're using them for a much deeper purpose. The third point here that I see in verse 13 and 14, the true foundation is based on the realities afar off. These heroes of faith died in faith, not having received the promises in this earth life, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. These people had a vision of something beyond this earth life. Something, as it says here, afar off. The true realities are afar off. And I believe that's a challenge that's set before us daily, to keep our vision on what's afar off. Finally, what is your purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? What are we doing here? You know, as I get bombarded with these offers of satisfaction, offers of bliss through advertisements in the mail, through billboards, through the store signs, through whatever it is, as we're bombarded with that, but we stop and think, this earth is not my home forever. I'm traveling through. These things that God has given to me are, can I use the word disposable? I looked up the word in the dictionary. It means used once and then intended to be thrown away. In a sense, everything we have here is disposable. We will use it maybe multiple times, but more or less one long use or one short use if you compare to eternity, and then it's going to be thrown away. That Tower of Pisa was in building, I think, over 200 years. Somebody had vision to build and to carry on the building. I could be wrong on that, but just the little bit I looked at, I didn't spend a lot of time researching it, but somebody spent a lot of time building, planning, and then building. But it's disposable. You know, the towers, Freedom Tower, of course, that catches my eye, all that that symbolizes. But a lot of time and energy and money being poured into designing this. Why? To create something lasting, right? Something that's going to symbolize something that for generations, people will point to that and remember what it stands for. But it's disposable. Now that doesn't really touch my personal life much. But the extra convenience that I would like to have, that hobby that I enjoy, that whatever it is, you put it in there, material thing. Even our resources are not limited to material things, not limited to money or financial or things that we use, but it's also our resources. Our time is a resource. Our friendships are resources. The education that we've been able to receive is a resource. These are all resources that I believe fall in a very similar category as material things, because they're temporary. They're disposable. When we die, we're not going to take them with us. But we can also turn around and use those same resources for eternal good. And the true foundation of our lives is based on realities afar off. And as we keep our focus on that city, that heavenly country, these declared plainly they seek a country, as we keep our focus on that, then the decisions of life are made with a purpose. When we lose focus of that, we tend to, wander around in life. And, yeah, we get a lot of things done, but we spin our wheels a lot. Being busy, but maybe not in some of the most important things. And we tend to make decisions by default. Well, this would like to buy that. It's a good price now. And I would really enjoy. I've always wanted one of them. And so let's buy it. Not saying all those purchases are wrong. And I'm not here to make those decisions. But as we keep our focus on the eternal, those things take on a whole new meaning. Those decisions take on a whole new meaning. And those decisions are made with much more purpose. But that city which hath foundation, the eternal, cannot be taken away from us. The temporal will be taken away from us, but the eternal cannot. And then point number four, we show by our actions what is our foundation. We show by our actions what is foundation, what is foundational to us. Good morning. And I see that in verse 14. They that say such things, verse 13 and 14, they were persuaded of them and embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. And you think of Abraham's life, Jacob's life, Isaac's life, and Jacob's life. They never bought land and settled down and built a mansion. Abraham bought land so that he could bury his wife. But they lived in tents and they moved around. And they were looking for a place with foundation. Did they expect to find it there? God had promised Abraham he was going to give the land of Canaan. So I think there was a certain expectation there, but I believe they looked beyond that. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. That's where what we do is really what shows who we are. It's beyond talk. So many, it's easier for us to talk about what's right. It's easier for us to know what's right than to do it. But what we do really shows where we what we really believe. And so we show by our action. And it takes deliberate choice to put our treasures in heaven. That takes a deliberate choice. Naturally, we put our treasures here. We get our children nice things. We want to build our little business, or we want to buy that newer car, or we want to, you know, and naturally our efforts go into making a living, and including making a living includes getting some of those extras and getting a few more of those extras, and that's our natural tendency. And if we're not careful, our treasure is being laid up here, and it's really disposable. Because you or I could die today or tomorrow, and all of those things will be left here for somebody else. And we can build up a big pile, and it can be left for somebody else to fight over, or it can be left for somebody else to stumble over. But it takes a deliberate choice to place our treasures in heaven. Some of you could be out on the streets today making good sales. In Honduras, at least, Sunday is a big market day. And some people could be making a better living. But it takes a deliberate choice. I'm going to lay up my treasure in heaven. And so I give that up so that I can be here. Sometimes it means taking off early from work so that we can be at prayer meeting. Sometimes it means sacrificing to give to somebody who's in need. Sacrificing something that we would have liked to buy, but we say, well, let's put that money toward this need instead. Deliberate choice. That doesn't happen by default, for most of us at least. That does not happen by default. But God wants us to be stewards, not owners of these resources. And then the flip side of this, point number five, our actions follow our hearts or follow our longings. So first I say, we show by our actions what our foundation is. In a sense, we take our heart somewhere by laying our treasure there first. Matthew 6, where Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He didn't say where your heart is, that's where you're going to put your treasures. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so in one sense, where we deliberately choose to put that treasure, our heart follows that. Our longings, our desires follow that. And we say, you know, I've been laying up treasures in heaven. I've been, you know, investing in people's lives, in my children's lives. I've been investing in my neighbor's lives. I've been investing, you know, souls. Those are the ones you can take to heaven. And as those people go on to eternity, we have more and more treasure to go to. But on the flip side, I believe, is also true that our actions follow our hearts. I think it can work both ways. Because these said, verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Abraham was called out of Ur to go to a land God was going to show him. And he went, not knowing whither he went. If he would have had his heart set, said if they had been mindful of that country, or if his heart would have been set on that country that he had come out of, he might have had opportunity to have returned. There were probably plenty of opportunities. When the famine came and he went to Egypt, he could have probably said, well, you know, back in Ur, I had plenty. I'm going back there. But his heart was not there anymore. He had come out of there and he had left it. So it's also true that where our heart is, what we desire, our actions will follow. If I keep yearning for that, and you put it in there, that fame, or I keep yearning for that job, or I keep yearning for that new car, or I keep yearning for that whatever it is, your actions will follow those yearnings. You will begin because that becomes your goal. That becomes my goal. And what is ultimately our goal is what we start to make decisions based upon that goal. If we yearn for the world, we are in danger of making this world our home. And this world does not have foundations. Someday this earth is going to shake, and someday this earth is going to burn up. But we cannot afford to allow our hearts to go after the lusts, to go after the pleasures, to go after the things of this world. Because we lose that battle or we win that battle in our hearts, in our minds. As we think on, as we make choices about what we think on, about what we desire. And these things are so subtle because they just slip into our lives little by little. And we need to keep getting back to that. And just recently thinking about, you know, we'd like to have our lives just pretty much all put together, right? I'd like to be a really balanced person. And so we focus so much on this, and then suddenly we realize, but you know, this, we're letting this slip. And then we go over and we focus on this. And then we realize that over here we're letting something else slip. A lot of these subtle things just reach in there. We constantly need the wisdom of God, and we constantly need an eternal focus. And we need to keep getting back to that. Because so easily, the things that we see, the things that we handle, the things that we touch, the things that we talk about become our focus. And that's often the earthly. Let's guard our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Out of the heart are the issues of life. That's where it comes from. That's where our decisions come from. And finally, point number 6, verses 15 and 16, the choice is ours. Verse 15, Abraham had opportunity to return. He could have returned had he wanted to. Probably plenty of opportunities. And verse 16, but now they desire a better country. In other words, he had a choice. I can go back or I can go forward. And Abraham chose to go forward. Desired a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that's a city which hath foundations. That's a city that can never be moved. That's a city that cannot be taken from you. But it can be given up by you. We can yield our rights to that city, our privilege to that city. We can give that up, but it cannot be taken from us. Everything we have here that's earthly will be taken from us, whether we give it up willingly or not. It will be taken from us. It will be left behind. And so my question to each one this morning, what is home to you? What is really, really home to you? Is it this earth or is it the heavenly? What guides your decisions each day? As you make your daily decisions, what guides that? Is it just default? Or is it a purposeful decision toward our eternal home? Does your life declare plainly that you seek an eternal city? Or do we let a lot of questions to people who observe us as to whether or not we're really heading toward heaven with that as our primary focus, or whether or not we're really settling down on this earth and accumulating more and seeking after more? What if 2015 is your last year on earth? What if 2050 is your last year on earth? But what will be the most important thing to you 100 years from now? Takes our focus off of the earth life. to the heavenly? What is the most important thing? What will be the most important thing to me in 100 years about my earth life here? I would like to challenge each one of us. Let's keep our focus on the heavenly, a daily focus on the eternal. And that will help us in a lot of the decisions that we make, a lot of hard decisions we make. That will help us to face those decisions. Let's kneel for prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together again with your people. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of serving you here on this earth. Lord, we don't deserve this privilege. We don't deserve the opportunities you have given to us. But we thank you for them, and Lord, we want to be faithful stewards, managers of the things that you've trusted to our lives, to our care. Lord, help us to keep our vision on the heavenly, to keep our focus on the eternal as we go throughout the daily grind of life, dealing with temporal things, dealing with physical things. Lord, help us to use them to build your kingdom and to lay up treasures for you. Bless each one here in this congregation, each one gathered here this morning, the different calling of life that you have on each life, and the different responsibility, the different works, the different areas of influence. Lord, we just pray that a bright and shining light would go forth from this dark place and would touch neighbors' lives and friends and relatives, and touch many lives, Lord, that more souls can come to you and can lay up treasure in heaven, lay their foundation on an eternal city. And Lord, just bless the remainder of this service. Bless the Sunday school. Bless the teachers. Bless the children especially, Lord, as they grow and understand. And pray that you would give them understanding, give them desires in their hearts to serve you, to grow up with pure and holy lives. Desire to give their lives over to you as they grow, Lord. Just help us as parents to be wise and be the example that they need. Lord, just guide us. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 435. Number 435.